Hello and welcome to Resync, an Assassin's Creed podcast. I'm Landon. That's Lucas.
That's me.
And we're back for another episode. Probably what I imagine is going to be our shortest episode. This was an extremely short sequence. Extremely short. It's two missions, but it's basically one because they lead right into each other. So it's very short. The only reason I spent any significant time in this was because I finally bit the bullet and went back to Montrejoni. Because, you know, I'd already unlocked all the upgrades last sequence, so I knew there was nothing left for me there. I still need some extra cash to flesh out, you know, to get the Sword of Altair, and then, what is it, the other combo enders, you know, in that, in the training yard, where you can get the combos, those new...
You can unlock combos?
We talked about this. Remember how I unlocked the throwing knives move? Because the throwing knives move is 5k, and then there's two others that are 10k each.
Okay, I didn't know this, so I'm about to spend all my money on that.
Yeah, because you can unlock new attacks. There's only the three that I'm aware of. Maybe more unlock as you buy them, but yeah.
I'm fine with that. I just didn't know I had more moves.
Yeah. Because I've only ever gotten the first one. I haven't gotten the others because, again, they've been in Montrejoni. And so I finally got Montrejoni upgraded pretty much to the fullest. There's a couple buildings left I need to get to level 3. But, yeah, I finally did that and got the Altair's armor, which does, in fact, look sick as fuck. You know, got those seals put in and, you know, grabbed some extra chests. Since I got the well renovated, I was able to get some more chests that Lucas wasn't aware of.
I got them. Tell me where they were.
Yeah.
we were actually on a call when he was playing a little bit.
Yeah, we were about to play some Left 4 Dead, and I was playing, and I was like, hey, this is a thing.
Well, because I couldn't find... I was like, tell him I couldn't find him. I still can't find two chests, and I feel like a dumbass and I've been able to find them. Like, there's got to be a way to go underground somewhere again. But...
I will say, it's pretty depressing that there's a new Assassin's Creed game out that I've played a lot of. Don't get me wrong. But, like, having way more fun playing two games from 2009. Like, we're playing Left 4 Dead 2 last night.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing Assassin's Creed 2 and, you know, having fun there.
Having a blast.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. Yeah, both came out in 2009. I just put that together, too. Because
2009 was a good era. It was a good year, though.
Maybe it was 2010. Because I know the first Left 4 Dead was 2008. Yeah, it might have been 2010, Left 4 Dead 2 came out. But I kind of feel like it was 2009, but like only a year after the first one? That's why I'm confused. It was 2009. Hell yeah. Actually, I think that's the same day as Assassin's Creed 2. So it was November 17th. Yeah, they came out on the same fucking day.
That's actually kind of crazy. That's actually really weird.
That might be the single best day for video games ever. Yeah. Like, Assassin's Creed 2 and Left 4 Dead 2 on the same fucking day.
Both sequels that were better than the first one.
True. Yeah. That's an insane day for video games.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe I'd ever put that together.
That's crazy.
But, yeah. So, anyway.
The more you know.
Yeah, the more you know. And it wasn't long after Arkham Asylum, either. Like I said, 2009
was a great year for games.
Yeah, it's fucking great. But before we get into the proper sequence, which shouldn't really take us too long, going over the trivia for last week that I had to edit out. Did you watch that?
No, I actually didn't watch it.
Yeah, you probably should.
Yet.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. Have some fun with it. But, yeah, so the trivia question for last week, which I wanted to talk about this week's trivia question, so you didn't fucking spoil it, so let me talk for a little bit. Not do it twice.
We forgot about it again.
But, oops. So Silvio and Dante are trying to set sail for a city, but are thwarted by Ezio. What is that city? What is it, Lucas?
Cyprus.
It's Cyprus. This time we can reveal it fully. That is where they're coming from.
So you should edit that out with the original clip.
I don't wanna. I did my editing. But congrats to those who got it correctly.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, he got it right. And so I'll just go right into this week's trivia question, because it's at the start as well, or over here. It's 2 years after the events of sequence 10. Ezio is basically like lamenting on 10 years of hunting Templars, while Rosa gives him a shipping manifest for Silvio and Dante's ship. But there's also kind of like a bit of a special event going on that Ezio is kind of lamenting, that there's a significance to this day. The trivia question for this week is what is the significance of the day? And it's partially the reason, not necessarily, but it's sort of like the context of like, Rosa goes, oh, well, because of this, I'm giving you this shipping manifest. What's going on over there? What's the significance of the day? That's the trivia question for this week.
You know, I don't even know the answer to spoil it, so.
Good. Proud of you.
I'm proud of me. Don't know my Assassin's Creed lore.
So, anyway, you know, again, Rosa's giving him this shipping manifest, and Ezio's like, whoa? And then Leonardo appears, who's apparently been gone for a little while, and asks Ezio to follow him. He's got to talk to him. And basically, Leonardo has been doing some research on the Codex pages and reveals that they lead to a vault that Rodrigo Borgia, the big bad Spaniard himself, is after. That
bitch.
And there's also a boat coming from Cyprus tomorrow. That should hopefully give some more clues as to what's going on there.
Yeah, and I love that conversation with Ezio and Leonardo that they have walking.
Because
They're just like, because at one point Ezio is just like, I love you. Or I've known you for such a long time. You're like, you know, it's like, if I can't trust you, I can't trust anybody. Like,
right?
He's just basically saying, like, you're a homie.
Yeah, they're like best bros.
Yeah.
But again, like, it's been 10 years since the start of the game.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's been, what, 10 weeks, essentially?
Yeah, man, that's like our friendship, bro.
Yeah.
A little less, but, yeah.
I'm Ezio. Oh. Fuck you.
I'm fine with being Leonardo.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool, just saying.
But, anyway. yeah, it is a bit of like a full circle moment, kind of. Like, again, because we're in the third act now. You know, this is the fourth to last sequence, like we're getting in those final times. Again, this was the penultimate sequence in the 1.0 release before they added sequences 12 and 13. So, you know, you can tell, like, things are coming to a finite point. And so Ezio goes to this ship to then, you know, spy on it and notices that his uncle Mario is there doing the same
Mario's
thing.
Yeah, Mario's just chilling.
Yeah, he's looking at it like, Mario? And so, you know, checking the same thing. And he notices a soldier taking some cargo away, and so Ezio follows him to capture it.
Yeah, and this is like, why is he running?
Well, it's weird because
he'll walk, and then he's like,
walk a little bit. Like, yeah, and then all of a sudden he's like,
and I'm like, stop it.
very inconsistent.
And he'll take like weird paths too. Like, I was like, why are you running like this?
Yeah, he's going.
And
all
then you
over
just go
place.
Back right into the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're walking like how I would through the city.
Well, I kind of took it as a bit of like, you know, like the Templars are very obvious to the fact that they're being monitored by the assassins.
So he's trying to be sneaky, but not sneaky.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think it's his attempt of like, you know, losing anybody that's potentially following him.
Even though like I was right behind him the whole time.
Exactly. Like, just like watching. I actually collected 2 feathers while following him.
Because I did just too. Kept seeing I did too. Yeah, actually, yeah.
But
I also did almost. There was like a section where I like fell off the building and I got like all fucked up and I was like lost sight of him and I had like, I was like my timer was counting down for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, I gotta fucking book it, and I ran it. And there's like right across this like, the water, there was a guard there. And I had to, like, I'm like, man, I have to kill this guard. So, like, I literally got through the animation, and I had, like, 1 second left. And I had to go around this corner real quick. And I hit 0, but it reset back to 30 right when I turned the corner. I was like, thank God.
Fucking buzzer beater.
I know.
But, yeah, so you're following this guy who's being all crazy. And, basically follows him to a garrison that is awaiting Rodrigo himself.
Mm-hmm.
So they're meeting with the Spaniard. And so you take out the guard and impersonate him to actually, instead of just stealing the box, you're like, all right, I'm finishing this right now. He's going to be here. I'm going to fucking kill him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you dress up in a suit of armor and you have to, like, follow and all this stuff. Did they send just, like, hordes of people with boxes at you?
Bro.
And then, like, also, they walk straight towards you?
Here's the thing. Why are the guards pissed at this guard for running in to guys with boxes?
Well, I dodged all of them, so I didn't have to experience that, but I could tell that's what was going on. Yeah, but yeah, like, no, when like, in the game, guards are such dicks to anybody who comes within their distance, but the one time you're a guard, they're like, how could you possibly disturb the peace like this?
Yeah, and like, he ran into me.
Yeah.
I wasn't even paying attention the one time. I hit like three boxes, and I was like, fuck these box guys, first of all. But I was more annoyed at the fact that the guards were annoyed at me. I was like, if history said anything, these guards will stick together no matter what. They're not fucking beaten up. Maybe I was like hazing, but they're not. Like,
you're right.
They're like, how dare you disturb the peace, you fucking dumbass.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell I'm like, damn, they really just have like all these people heading straight for me. I'm over here just like snaking through.
Because then when you do get caught, he talks for like 15 seconds. And he, like, shoves you a couple times and makes you, like, you can't pick up the box while, you, like, he's there and he's talking to you. And you, like, you almost, like, lose track of the guy. So you have to, like, almost catch back up. And it's annoying. I was getting pissed off.
Well, I didn't have that issue.
Yeah, cool.
I didn't get hit.
I wasn't paying attention as well as I should have.
Well, because I just kept seeing them coming. I'm like, all right, I imagine bad things are going to happen if they do, like, drop their box. So I'm just going to avoid them.
Which it wasn't even that bad. Kept... It was just like,
hey, stop it. Well, I said, like, don't attract attention to yourself. So I'm just over here just like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then fucking having to, like, dodge people with boxes. But, you know, you follow, you know, go through the streets to meet with Rodrigo, hoping to end things once and for all. And, yeah, you come across, you know, Rodrigo, and it isn't long. The guy starts explaining. I was going to think about, like, waiting to like, hear them out, but I was worried it was going to have me fail if I did. So I kind of let him talk for a little bit, and then I was like, yeah, let's go and start.
No, I wasn't fucking around. I was like, I'm here to kill this guy. Let's get going. So... as soon as I saw the interact thing, I was like, stab.
And so, yeah, you take out the head of the guard, and, you know, Rodrigo immediately knows it's you. He doesn't like, even see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, dodge, what's up?
Yeah. It's like, I'm here to beat your ass. And you proceed to beat his ass. But then all of a sudden he calls in reinforcements somehow. Because he's like...
there's a lot more of this.
Yeah, there's a lot more of this. And so you beat his ass, and then he's like, haha, I know more than all this stuff. I'm super powerful, blah, blah, blah. And proceeds to call in other people to fight for him. I proceeded to not give a shit, and I just kept wailing on him.
You beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, beat the shit out of him again. And then, you know, he keeps calling in more people, to which point... everybody we've worked with comes in to save the day.
Mario comes in.
Teodora, fucking the other prostitute lady.
The Fox.
Yeah, La Volpe, fucking Antonio, fucking this random dude named Machiavelli, if you might recognize. Yeah. All these people come to help us. Like, all the people that have, you know, helped us across the years just... pounce, and it's all out warfare. Everybody's fighting. Like, it is this cool kind of like full circle moment once again where everybody's fighting. You know, you've got all your allies going,
yeah,
and you just continue to beat the shit out of Rodrigo
while they're beating the shit out of everyone else.
Exactly. However, he does manage to get away after you kick the snot out of him three times.
Yeah.
But
he should be dead.
You have the box, of which Rodrigo claims is an Apple of Eden. And so, you know, you've acquired this box, you've kept it out of Rodrigo's hands, and then everybody comes up to you and is like, yeah, we've been assassins the whole time, just training you, getting you to this moment, and now you're gonna become an assassin.
Which, we weren't assassins the whole time.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
We were wearing the armor, doing the things,
I was literally wearing Altair's armor, so,
doing all of their work for them, but I guess we weren't assassins yet.
Yeah, I was wearing one of the most notorious assassins to ever live armor, and, not an assassin yet, apparently.
Yeah. So we're officially
inducted. And his sword. Come on.
Exactly. I guess they just give it to anybody.
Yeah.
We're literally taking out the high political figures of Italy, but yet not, we're not official yet. We're still training. Typical corporate America.
God.
Corporate Italy over here. But, yeah, you go up to a tower, they have a little ceremony where you're officially inducted, they speak the words of the creed, we hear that nothing is true, everything is permitted. Ezio is officially confirmed into the Assassin's Order.
Yeah, he gets branded.
Yeah.
And then Antonio, that little motherfucker, does a leap of faith.
Yeah, they all do a leap of faith off the building, except, yeah, I talked about this with Lucas before the podcast. We gave him all that shit for when he was, scouting out that building a few sequences ago, and then Antonio climbed down the wall when he could have just done a leap of faith the whole time.
He was an assassin.
Yeah, he was an assassin. He could have done it. He could have just been really acrobatic.
I sat there in that bush and waited, or not, that haystack, and waited for him to climb down that whole fucking building. When he just could have jumped.
Yeah. So, bitch, fuck you, Antonio. And then during Carnival, all you wanted to do is fucking do opioids and fuck whores. Bad assassin.
But assassin. You reminded me of the... Because I remember I brought up the cape from last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know most people probably watch or just listen. But if you're watching, I figured I'd show what I meant. Oops, wrong way.
You know, we have technology. We could have
just,
like...
Yeah,
but
it looks like that. Well, yeah, but it looks good.
Yeah, that's right. Except you're spilling pop all over me. Jesus Christ.
Here's a tissue.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. Fucking shithead. This is why I don't give you any authority or power or respect.
You did a good job of, catching it mostly.
Well, I'm an assassin. What can I say? You're just fucking Leonardo, who's apparently had some fun over at the whorehouse. Bitch.
Yeah, but anyways, that was the carnival cape I was talking about. That was cool.
Yeah, that is a carnival cape. Isn't it so cool?
Was it worth it, Landon?
No, it wasn't. No. It wasn't worth it at all. Fucking bitch. But, for the audio listeners, Lucas showed off that cape and then proceeded to spill my drink all over me.
Yep.
So, that was cool. That was super cool. We love the little antics we get on to. Here in Resync and Assassin's Creed podcast, soon to be a single host show. But
sorry about your sticky hands.
Being no sticky hands. And so another targetless sequence, as it was supposed to be Rodrigo, but he got away. But
she's
we did
bitch.
Get an Apple of Eden. And that is where the sequence ends. Like this last week, it does kind of automatically launch you into the next one. But officially, the sequence ends there. It's super, super short. Like I say, it's we're not even 20 minutes in. And we're already done talking about the sequence.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot here. It's very short. And then we get into, again, the bonus sequences. These next two aren't technically, they weren't in the official release. They do kind of veer off because, again, the next thing is, they want to, they have the apple, but they still have to deal with Rodrigo. He is kind of the final one, but there is a little bit of stuff in between with what comes next. What are they going to do with the apple? Different things like that. So we've got a few more sequences to go, but we're almost done. How are you feeling now? 11 sequences in.
I don't want it to end still. I'm really glad Brotherhood's the second game because it's basically a continuation.
Right.
So,
it literally was.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be, in the main game, but then they ran out of time, so they just made another game. So, it is, pretty much. They just changed the UI and called it a day. And so, But, yeah, that's fair. I feel the same way. Because, two's... It's... The best
it's
game,
the best,
in my opinion.
Yeah, it's.
I think, Brotherhood is a very close second, and I think the only reason it's not first is probably because a lot of the things that make it so good were introduced in the second game.
Yeah.
So, I kind of view it a lot of what makes it good wouldn't exist without two, you know? And so that's kind of why I give two the leg up. But yeah, Brotherhood's also amazing. I'm super excited for that. But this is prime Assassin's Creed. I do think, you know, we've gotten some pretty, like, significantly fast pacing compared to the rest of the game. These past few sequences, you know, they've gotten very short. Yeah. You know,
well, it seems... there's that one sequence that was, like, six missions or something. Like, it took us, right? It took, like, 2 hours for me to get through.
I think the longest I've spent on a sequence this game is 6 hours, and that was because of the 23 side missions I did. So I think it was actually longer than that. I think it might have been like 7 hours. So, you know, the pacing is a little all over the place, but, you know, we could say the same thing about the first game because it was sequence four had three different assassination targets. And so,
and like realistically too, like if this wasn't like the sequence by sequence podcast, I probably just would have played those three sequences.
Right. Like, but yeah, exactly. So, you know, it is a little bit all over the place, but you know, we're having fun with it. And, you know, it gives us a little bit of a reprieve. Gives us some more time to play Assassin's Creed Shadows. Right, Lucas?
Yeah, I need to play that still.
Yeah.
I accidentally started playing Shadow of Mordor again. Because it's a good game.
It is a good game. I saw Jack Quaid was playing it, and it made me jealous. I've been thinking of it, too. But then I think about all the other games that I'm going to play and need to play.
I'm doing it because Monolith is, like, gone. So I'm just, like...
I've been wanting to do the same thing.
Gotta pay my respects.
It's very valid. Very valid. And it's a very, like, Assassin's Creed-y type
game. I was like, because I actually just had to do this, like, the first kind of stealth mission you do where you have to, like, poison the barrels.
Right.
And I was, like, doing that. I was like, man, this is very Assassin's Creed-y. Like, I'm, like, jumping from the top, like, assassinating people, basically. And
right.
Doing, like, all this stealth. I was like, yeah. Love this shit.
Yeah. Sick-ass game. Rip Monolith. Fuck you, Warner Brothers.
Fuck you, Warner Brothers.
Bullshit. But, yeah, I mean, trying to find something to help pad this out a little bit more. I mean, I put 8 more hours into Shadows. I will say, you know, like, I'm not going on some huge rant because I don't really have any, like, too much new stuff to add.
He said this at 9:02. We'll see what time he's done.
It's a good game. It's just not a great game. You know? Like I said, I still have all the issues I talked about where it's like I hate the numbers aspect of it. I hate how I feel like I need to constantly micromanage my gear and pay attention to what the numbers are on the screen instead of just enjoying the game, and how it never feels like I'm doing everything the right way because of just the weird how it scales, how it only scales in numbers and not by like design. And so there's just a lack of polish there, I guess you could say, but everything else is solid. It's just that one thing that really just gets on my nerves. But I'm still enjoying the game. I still really like the story. I'm like, still, I want to say about, I think I'm like maybe about like 65% of the way through now or something like that. I took out two of the main targets and so there's 12
are you
total.
Trying to 100% this game, or are you just playing through the story right now?
Honestly, I've been going back and forth because I originally was going to 100% the game. Then it got really long, and I was like, okay, maybe I just roll credits on it. And so, honestly, at this point, I'm just kind of winging it. I, like, you know, for the rest of my stuff, I want to get my weeklies done. I want to make sure I get the weeklies because I want to keep up with the Animus Hub. So that's kind of how I start, which, like I said, I was pretty much right on the money last week with saying, like, the weeklies will take you, like, 3 hours-ish. So... And which, again, 3 hours of Assassin's Creed a week, I feel like is the sweet spot. Because, you know, if they were to put dailies in here, like, nobody's going to want to play Assassin's Creed every day. Like, you're not going to have anybody do that. But them just having the weeklies that, again, you can get done in, like, 2 to 3 hours, like, that is pretty much, like, the perfect sweet spot. Because most Assassin's Creed fans, which are going to be the ones doing this, it's not going to be just random Joe Schmo, you know. They can put, like, a few hours a week into, again, this brand new game and everything. I like that aspect. Like I said, I really like the Animus Hub. It's a little bare bones, but what's there is good. It's not intrusive. It's not microtransaction heavy. It's all free. You know, they do have microtransactions in the game, but it's all cosmetic. You know, you can just buy stuff for that.
They've had that stuff forever.
Yeah, they've had it for at least 11 years. Since Unity, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. I thought they had it in Assassin's Creed 3.
Did they?
I thought you, because I thought they had the, because you could have like his Native American outfit that he has.
It wouldn't surprise me. Like, I just remember it specifically Unity because they were atrocious in Unity, because there were these like, there was this like legendary armor that you could get for Arno that cost like 100,000 whatever the fuck the currency was, and basically it's basically impossible to get that much money in the game. It's basically forcing you to spend money to get it.
That's kind of annoying,
because there's also like multiple variations of it. That's all like you'd be spending millions of dollars of in-game currency if you actually did that. So I just remember that from Unity. That was the most egregious use of microtransactions to ever hit Assassin's Creed. They never did that again after that. That is, but it could have been earlier. I just know that, yeah, that's Unity was the first game that people were like, fuck these microtransactions. I think there might have been, you're right, like a couple of, you know, like little things here and there. Is that leaking? Just notice it's like really like, it could just be like the condensation from the cold drink. But it's just like a lot of moisture.
Yeah. I think it's just condensation.
The condensation! Claire! Nerd! Anyway. Yeah, so I'll clear out my weeklies for the week, and then I've just been grinding the main story, because, yeah, like, I do plan on playing everything else, but, like, again, it seems like anytime I do side stuff, it just doesn't, like, it puts me ahead of the main story in terms of, like, the types of encounters that I'm facing, and so I've been spending a lot of time with the main story, because I want to see where it ends. And then once I've actually rolled credits, I'll kind of see how I'm feeling to go off of the 100%. Because again, to platinum the game, it's like 75 hours. But to actually 100% it, it's fucking double that. So it's like, we'll see. We'll see.
That's a lot of hours.
Playing it by ear. Because I mean, I will 100% it when it comes to, when it, you know, comes times to get to it on resync. So I'm like, do I really want to do this twice? Or, I don't know. So I've been going back and forth on it. I'm at least going to roll credits. That much is for sure. We'll see how long it takes me to get there, though. But still in Act 2, 48 hours in. I've got 2 whole days of in-game time. And I still, you know, just still trucking away. Not even in the final act yet. Meanwhile, we've got what, like, I want to say like 15 hours into Assassin's Creed 2-ish, and we're almost done with it.
15? I don't know, like 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's fact check that. We've got time anyway. Because I felt like a few weeks ago you said 10.
Did I look at it wrong? I swear I said 18 before I played today, but I could just be...
You spent 2 hours on this sequence?
Well, like I said, I wasn't doing the sequence the whole time.
Yeah, I get that, but, like, how much shit did you even have to do?
I said, like, 20.
You've played 5 hours recently. Yeah, 19.4. All right, fair enough. I'll give you that. But, yeah, good shit. But, I've got 35 hours.
On the PC. I'm like, goddamn.
Well, I fucking love Assassin's Creed 2. What can I say?
Well, the first time I beat it was on my uncle's account.
Right. Well, then you had it on Xbox, didn't you?
Then I had an Xbox, and I played it there.
Yeah. But, so yeah, we're about, like, 20 hours in, and yeah, we're almost done. We probably got, like, 2 or 3 more hours left. So, you know, I have been thinking about it, because I made the comment on stream where I don't know if stealth really works in an open-world environment. Like, it can, but it's just really annoying because you have so many like automated AI stuff going on that it's hard to craft truly good stealth experiences when you don't have that linear format. Because like I was, you know, there's a bunch of people talking about like they don't make Assassin's Creed missions like this anymore. And it was a mission from Unity, funny enough. That was really good. It was really cinematic and stuff. And we've talked about all the cinematic sequences in the second game. And yeah, like I saw again this the shout out to the Assassin's Creed TikToker that I talked about a couple weeks ago. He had talked about how Ubisoft has a problem with their mission structure, and that's like his biggest critique. And I agree. Ever since they went to the action RPG format, and just really in a lot of their games lately, a lot of their, you know, kind of structure is built around like giving the player agency, I guess, to create their own stories and whatnot. And that's cool. But you lose the factor of, you know, having these well-crafted experiences experience themselves. And I think you can have both, you know? Like, you can make sequences where it's like you've got this open world and this open, you know, area to kind of do your own thing and make your own experiences, but then have, like, these main missions, these cornerstone experiences throughout the game that are very, like, linear and thought out, because that's how you make true quality. When you leave so much up to chance, it's not that it's impossible to make something high quality out of that, but it's risking the high chance that it's going to be nothing, or it's going to get ruined because the AI isn't functioning properly or isn't doing the right thing, where it's like, yes, people are going to have different experiences, but a lot of those experiences probably aren't going to be as good as others.
I think it could benefit from almost a God of War like structure, like in terms of like their story, not necessarily like combat or anything, but just like how their story pacing is.
Right.
And like how they have the linear moments, but you can still like go around and do whatever you want. Like it's, but probably a little more open world than that even, but yeah.
Yeah. They, you know,
so you can have those cool fucking moments.
Yeah.
Like, memorable shit that you did in that game.
I agree. I think that is the move for, honestly, just most games in general nowadays. Like a lot of open world RPGs are kind of stinkers. And like they just aren't that great. You know, like there's people trying to make Skyrim and The Witcher 3 and stuff like that. But like those types of games are good for a reason. Like they put a lot more time into them, and you know, this isn't something like that Ubisoft can just churn out in a few years. And so it's one of those things where a lot of people are calling it open zone. Is kind of what people are putting, like, God of War and other games like it into that category. And I think that is kind of really the future of, like, quality games in this medium. Because, you know, like, some people want a bigger scope than just a classic linear. Even though I think, you know, those games are the games that a lot of people really enjoy. But then there's this, like, open zone that's kind of a best of both worlds. Where you can have the openness to it. You can have sort of the exploration and extra stuff and have that sort of creative interaction. But then in there, you have these orchestrated moments that demonstrate the story and the narrative and the gameplay that you want people to achieve and experience. And so you're giving players freedom, but also giving them something that they can enjoy that you crafted for them. Because that's what video games are. They're made by people for people.
Yeah.
And so stop making us do the work for you, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's a certain amount of freedom that is, you know, wanted and you know, like, accepted. But there's a line. And I think we've crossed that line. And we need to reel things back in a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know. Anyway, Shadows, good game. Not great game, in my opinion. It's just good.
Could be better.
Could be better. Could be better. I really hope that they take another crack at the Mirage style. Or like Lucas and I have said, like about like the open zone, God of War-esque type thing.
I feel like it'd be so good. Because it has those really cool cinematic moments with like just really just action-y, story-driven just centerpiece, and then you could do all the assassin shit that you always want to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just thinking about what an open world Assassin's Creed Hex would look like. Because again, that's their next game is Hex, which is about like the witch trials and stuff like that. So what? Am I doing side missions like saving witches or drowning witches? or what does the open world structure look like for that? Like, you know, like I feel like that type of experience fits the smaller nature of, again, like a more linear game or an open zone game. Like, if it's going to be, like, on the scale of Shadows, it's just, like, that sounds like a game with an absurd amount of fluff.
Yeah.
Of just meaningless side content.
Yeah, like, that, like, I feel like the Salem Witch Trials was something that needs to be more center. Like, it's about the story. Like, that's, like, it's, like, yeah. It's about the storyline.
Yeah, exactly. So.
More than, like, the era, I guess.
Right. Ooh, real quick, though, before we go, and then we'll wrap things up here, there was actually some Assassin's Creed potential, like, news that came out on the PlayStation Store. I think it got taken down. I don't think it's the same. There's a listing for Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag that just says announced. Like, it's, like, as if it's a future thing. So we already know that it's basically been all but confirmed that a Black Flag remake is in development. But it's sounding like it's coming sooner rather than later. There's been some insider info that they may have been targeting a November release for this year, but that it could possibly get pushed back due to Shadow's delay. And so, personally, which we talked about this a little bit on the Bonus Plus podcast, a couple months ago, but I think it would make sense for, you know, they had Shadows just now. Next year, next spring, they come out with the Black Flag remake, and then that gives them more time, like, to, like, pad out releases. It gives them more time to polish Hex, and then we have Hex in spring of 2027. So we have new Assassin's Creed for 3 years in a row, but it gives them that time.
I feel like if they use Assassin's Creed 4, they're just gonna, like, add online and be like, look, Skull and Bones.
Well, apparently, like, more of the rumors has been that it's not just a remaster. Like, it is a remake. They've touched up the stuff. I don't expect it's going to be like a, you know, like a Resident Evil 4 type remake or something. Well, I think it actually will be more in line with Resident Evil 4. More so, not like Resident Evil 2. Because, you know, Resident Evil 2, the remake is a lot different from the original, but the soul is there. Whereas Resident Evil 4 is primarily the same game. They just, you know, there's some different content sprinkled in there. They've modernized the gameplay, but it is essentially the same structure. I think that's what we're going to get for Black Flag, where it's the same sort of structure, but the combat's going to be modernized. You know, they might do... I feel like the ship stuff is going to be the least tweaked because that's what people really love. People still consider it to be the best pirate game, you know? And, like,
yeah.
a lot of people apparently consider it to be the best Assassin's Creed game.
Like I said, I've always said it's a good pirate game.
Right. So I feel like that stuff's going to be left largely untouched, probably a few quality of life improvements. But I feel like the land gameplay is going to be really overhauled. But yeah, there's been rumors that it's stuff like that, where it's like, it is going to be like built from the ground up. It's not a remaster. It is a remake, but I'm kind of envisioning like a Resident Evil 4 style, where yes, it's a remake and there's some stuff, but I feel like it'll be foundationally like the same game. Maybe some story stuff. You think they keep the Animus stuff? Like the first person, like all that shit? Or if it's just Kenway?
I imagine they do. I feel like it would kind of,
well, because
there is an important storyline that you do get in that.
Well, they talk about the sages and whatnot, but, like, it's set up for other stuff. Because, well, think about it, it's probably going to be integrated into the Animus hub. And so what if they just don't have the modern-day stuff, and it's just, like, maybe they have some references in the Animus hub, but it's, like, I feel like they cut it. Because most people didn't like it anyway. They didn't care about it.
I liked it. Only because they talked about my boy Desmond.
Yeah, but you got pissed off because of how they talked about him. I remember that. We had conversations about it. They're like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, but at least it's lore.
So, I don't know. But yeah, it showed up on the PlayStation Store. So it's like, personally, I could see it getting revealed in June. Like, when the big, like, not E3 events show happens. Ubisoft usually does a Ubisoft Forward full of announcements and everything. They also actually just got a huge investment. They got $1 billion. I know those are two very different numbers, but I think it was $1 billion. I think they got a $1 billion investment from Tencent, which is very, like, there's a lot of business jargon, mumbo jumbo stuff surrounding that where it's like they didn't get bought. Like they're not bought out by Tencent. Tencent just bought 25% of their stock. So they invested a lot into Ubisoft and they gave them a bunch of money after the success of Shadows, because Shadows is up to 3 million players. It's the second biggest launch in history, only following Valhalla. But that was also because Valhalla came out during COVID with a console launch where it was the big next-gen game. Like, there was really nothing else to play new. Like, there was the Demon's Souls remake on PS5, but it was a remake. You know, the big new game for next-gen was Valhalla. And so, you know, it had a lot going for it in that regard. And like I said, like, I don't even think Valhalla is that great of a game. And so it's not like I'm trying to boost up Valhalla any. You know, it beat out Origins and Odyssey. And so it's a massive hit for Ubisoft, regardless of what people think about it.
I just hope that Ubisoft takes the opportunity to keep improving and not double downing.
I hope so.
Because they like to just double down on shit and then make it worse.
Well, because, again, I'm a champion for Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I think it's the greatest thing they've put out since Black Flag. So, like, it's a phenomenal game, but it didn't sell. And that studio kind of got fucked over for it. They, like, downsized them. And, like, they didn't just get rid of the studio, but they, like, kind of shuffled them around. They, like, canceled their projects and did all this other stuff with them. And so, you know, like, this, like, Shadows being the super successful product, I'm hoping that Ubisoft has the conscience to be like, let's invest this into higher quality games versus, oh, people really like this slop, let's keep making this and fuck The Lost Crown. We'll see. I will say I have a little hope for the former simply because of how they handled Shadow's release, which is they canceled the early access stuff for the higher paid versions. They got rid of the super expensive versions, made it to where everybody played at the same time. You know, the first expansion is free, like did all this stuff, launching day and date on Steam. They did a lot of just like, here's this for you guys. We're not going to like overcharge you anymore after Outlaws flopped. So, you know, maybe they continue that trend of being very like consumer forward, because they realize that's all they've got now, because otherwise they're going to get shuttered. So,
that'd be cool.
You know, we'll see. We shall see. But I think it's high time we got out of here.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you for watching. Like if you like this, subscribe for more. Do all that fun stuff. Appreciate you. However you're consuming our content. Next week, we might not be here. I don't know. I've got a wedding that I'm, like, a groomsman for, and the day of the wedding is the day we usually record, and I've also got a dress rehearsal the night before, and just, I don't know. Honestly, I didn't think about it until right before we started recording this, so I'll keep you guys updated on Patreon. So if you haven't already, do join our Patreon. It's completely free. There are paid options where you get access to the bonus plus episodes that we're actually going to record this month right after this, which is super exciting. We're talking about all the crossovers involved in Assassin's Creed, because they've, you know, Ezio and all kinds of other assassins have been in a bunch of other games. So talking about the different crossovers with Assassin's Creed there have been over the years. But you can get access to those for a premium price. But just joining the Patreon is free, and it is kind of our main communication hub. It's where we'll talk about kind of where next week is. But I'm going to try to see if we can fit it in sometime so we don't have to skip a week, but we might end up skipping. We might have to take a week off. We'll see. I got a very busy week this upcoming week. But
it happens.
You know, we'll see. Keep you guys updated. You know, again,
we're doing way better than the first season.
Way better than the first season.
And so, I think we've been one day late on one episode.
Right. And so, appreciate you guys. And remember, nothing is true.
Everything is permitted.
See you later.